Welcome to Brighty on Broadcast News with Mike Adams, the Health Ranger.
Welcome to this weekend Red Alert edition of Brighty on Broadcast News. I'm Mike Adams. This is for Sunday, May 4th, 2025. And the reason this is a Red Alert is because yesterday, Gene Soroka, the executive director of the Port of Los Angeles, he was interviewed by Bloomberg News, and he gave a, well, rather level-headed sounding sort of his presentation of the information about what's happening with the Port of LA. It sounds very level-headed. And then when you actually parse what he says, it's pretty, it's very horrifying what is about to happen to the U.S. economy. Now, let me back up here for a second and say the following, because there's something about many Trump supporters right now where they are just, they're in a state of denial about what's about to happen. And we know this is going to happen because we know how many ships are not sailing to the United States. Okay. This is like having a hurricane forecast that's like 5 to 7 weeks out. Okay, which is normally we don't have hurricane forecasts that far out. But even when a hurricane forecast is 10 days out, nobody does anything until it's 1 day out. You notice that? And then the day before the hurricane, even though, you know, this happens in Florida all the time, right? So there's a hurricane forecast that's 10 days or sometimes even 2 weeks out, and it gets closer, 7 days out, it's going to be bad. You know, it gets closer, 5 days out. People do nothing. I mean, most people, until it's 1 day out. And then what happens? They all panic and they go out and buy bottled water and groceries and flashlights and everything. Happens every time. Every time. And gasoline, you know, lines at the gas station. Nobody does anything until the very last day. Okay? Well, we have a forecast right now that is weeks out. And we're going to go through the timeline for you. But before we go through this timeline, I want you to hear this interview for yourself, because it's, frankly, it's not that long, but it's packed with very important information. So I'm going to play the interview for you here right now. Again, it's only a couple of minutes. Listen carefully, and then we'll parse what Gene actually says here. And remember, this is Bloomberg News, and this is the director of the Port of Los Angeles, okay? This isn't me projecting numbers, making up numbers. This isn't me. This is the director of the Port of Los Angeles saying this. So check this out.
Just describe for us, let's take a beat, really frame it for us, how much volume has just dropped off in the last few weeks.
Yeah, about a third of the import volume, which means give or take about 50,000 20-foot equivalent units gone off the arrivals coming in next week.
So from next week is when you expect to see this really hit.
That's correct. And that matches up. The announcements back on April 2nd, then on April 8th, a little bit of a change on everybody, ex-China, Mexico, Canada, and those arrivals are coming at us this weekend.
We'll, of course, dedicate time to your port, but I'm just wondering how you're anticipating this rolls and ripples through the economy from here, how it hits trucking, when this turns up on the shelf. What's the distance, the time, from when you see a drop-off in volume and when we, as consumers, see the shortages?
Right. So CEOs are telling me, hit the pause button, right? I'm not going to import anymore at these kind of prices. Let's wait and see. I don't know if it's going to be 2 hours, 2 days, or 2 weeks till I get some clarity. Then, hiring. Off the table for right now. Capital investment, pause. And the retailers are telling me that realistically, with even the 10%, I'm gonna have to pass it on to the consumers.
So how much is this really coming from all over? It's not just about China. This is about really global trade coming to a standstill until there is a much greater degree of certainty and a much lower tariff rate than even the baseline that's been put out there.
Yeah, when I was last with you all, Lisa, I said global trade's going to slow, economies will follow, and that's exactly what we're seeing. Back in November, so many of us were wringing our hands about 4% inflation. We've just added 10 percentage points to imports coming out of Southeast Asia for our port, and these unbelievable numbers out of China.
How much are you going to see a real decline in dock workers if this goes on?
Yeah, this is the question. So the trucker hauling 4 or 5 containers today, next week, she probably hauls 2 or 3. The dock workers are no longer going to see overtime and double shifts. They're going to probably work less than a traditional work week starting right off the bat. Every 4 containers mean a job. So when we start dialing this back, it's less job opportunities.
And what happens if we get a deal?
If we get a deal, it's going to take about a month. Let me walk you through that real quick. About 2 weeks to get the ships repositioned around these major ports, from Qingdao to Shanghai to Xiamen, load up all those containers, and then another 2 weeks to steam across the Pacific to get to us. This is important because now we're talking about spring and summer fashion. So we're kind of at a crux here that we've got to have something pretty quick.
And back to school, which
That's
is,
right.
I think, very critical when it comes to political pushback for this administration. We have a story out, it was anecdotal reporting as well, we've heard about China quietly starting to exempt about 1/4 of U.S. imports. Are any U.S. importers exempting Chinese tariffs? Is there a way to get around the 145%?
Not really. There may be some exceptions, Anne-Marie, maybe a little bit going north or south of us. But realistically speaking, nobody is out there talking a lot about, hey, I got a better deal coming out of China right now.
The Flexport CEO joined us earlier in the week, and he said ocean freight is down 60% from China. When do we see 100%?
Good question. It depends on how long this goes. We heard the reports overnight through Bloomberg that the folks in China are thinking about talking. What does that mean? Okay, great. But we've got to get a move on here. The other thing is that retailers are saying we've got about 5 to 7 weeks of normal inventory in the country right now. Then we start to see spot shortages if it goes on much beyond this.
All right. So it's fascinating what he says and then how he says it. So one of the things, a piece of feedback that I get from people sometimes is that they think that the way I present information is too scary. No, have you heard this before? How am I supposed to? I mean, look, this isn't a snuggle fest, okay? This isn't hugging therapy class, okay? I'm here to alert you to what's about to happen to all of us. And if you just heard Gene, what's his name again? Soroka. If you just heard Gene Soroka, if you actually break it down, which is what we're going to do here, it's not a festival of fun, okay? So I say that the way people interpret what I say is their responsibility, and their own emotional reaction is also their responsibility. My responsibility is to be accurate and to give you the information in a sense of good faith with the prayer and the hope that by giving you this information, that it will help you avoid a problem. All right, that's where I'm coming from. That's a good faith posture to share this information with you. So I want to say that all up front, because what you're about to hear is to some people, oh, it's scary. Well, it shouldn't be scary if you just get ready, you know, and if you know what's coming, it shouldn't be scary at all. What would be scary is not being prepared and then at the very last minute say, oh my God, the shelves are empty. We've run out of everything. What do we do now? That sounds scary. That sounds crazy, actually. But let's just break it down. Because again, the way that Gene Soroka, that's an interesting last name. The way he says this is with a smile. It's like he's, you know, giving you an update on the fundraising results for a nonprofit or something. Like, everything's great. We took in record money. But actually, he's talking about the collapse of the domestic supply chain. It's wild, man. It's wild. It's like my friend Dan from I Allegedly, you know, he's got a very popular YouTube channel and he walks around all these beautiful places around Los Angeles and other areas. Like he'll go to this beautiful botanical garden and he's walking around the garden filming himself and with a smile giving you the most doomsday real estate collapse news possible, but he presents it in such a gentle way. You know, nobody takes it as shocking or anything, right? It's very gentle, which is great. And some people need it that way. But the way I deliver information is to, I mean, if it's justified, to try to jolt you into action. It's like, hey, something's incoming here. There's a storm approaching, you know? Are you ready for the storm? So let's talk about that storm. Here it is. So the timeline of supply chain disruptions in the USA. And by the way, I've published this at naturalnews.com. So you can see it there right now. Here's the timeline based on what Mr. Soroka just said. Okay, so let's begin. For the next 1 to 2 weeks, which will take us roughly across mid-May, we're going to have, according to Mr. Soroka, we already have a 30% decline in incoming shipments. He said 50,000 fewer 20-foot containers or 20-foot equivalent containers. And that happens Monday, okay? And then he says it gets worse in the following week. We'll get there. But he says CEOs are telling him they're freezing imports, they're freezing hiring, and they're freezing capital investments because of the uncertainty. Of course, that makes sense, right? Why would you invest in anything related to trade if you have no idea what Trump is going to do tomorrow, either on the side of a deal or no deal? You don't know. So you can't really make any decisions at all about investing money or ordering products or, you know, setting up an import warehouse or launching a marketing campaign or anything if it's related to goods from China. Okay, now, so far, that's pretty mild. That's just the next 1 to 2 weeks. Now let's look at 3 to 4 weeks out, which I'm going to say is, let's say, early June, okay? Visible shortages on the shelves. So Chinese-made goods begin running out just, this is just the beginning, as the pre-existing shipments are depleted. So Walmart relies heavily on China, but not entirely. Amazon reportedly relies about 70% on Chinese-made goods. So we could see tremendous shortages on Amazon beginning in early June. But remember, I'm saying just beginning. It'll be much worse in July. There will still be plenty of certain items in stock in June, but it'll get worse in July. So in June, we're looking at spot shortages for high-demand items like electronics and seasonal goods. Okay, then we're going to see also a transportation slowdown, reduced loads for truckers where they normally might have 4 to 5 containers in a day. It's going to be cut down to 2 to 3, according to Gene there. That's going to cut into their wages. Dock workers are going to lose overtime. They're going to shift to below standard work weeks, which will slow operations. Or you could say that's a response to slowed operations. All right, now let's continue on. 5 to 7 weeks out. This is what Mr. Soroka specifically mentioned. He says that in 5 to 7 weeks that retailers will exhaust their normal stockpiles of inventory. So within 5 to 7 weeks, which I'm going to say is end of June, is that fair to say roughly end of June? Empty shelves will become widespread. And you're going to see retailers across America desperately trying to spread out the products they have to fill the shelves to make sure the shelves don't visually look empty. But you'll run into things where you go to a shelf where you would normally find a product and it's not there. Instead, there's some other product that's filling up the space, you know? That's what retailers will do just to not look empty. Back to school items are going to face shortages if no resolution is reached very soon. There would be an economic spillover into the domestic economy. Inflation spikes as scarcity drives up prices. And my note on this is that right now, at retailers across America, including Amazon, including Walmart, including Best Buy and Lowe's and whatever, these companies have products even on sale right now that are going to be wiped out in 5 to 7 weeks. It's crazy. Like, none of these retailers have yet factored in the scarcity of these items, which means that if there's something that you think you need coming up, like a new dishwasher, a new blender, a new toaster, a new umbrella, you know, whatever. You can get it now at the normal price because it was shipped into the U.S. effectively 2 months ago. So you're buying, you know, March shipments right now, or maybe February, depending on, you know, how much inventory there was. You're buying early 2025 shipments right now. And these retailers don't have the presence of mind or something, or they're delusional to realize the supply shortage scarcity that's coming. And the thing is, we know it's coming because, as Mr. Soroka there just explained, we already know how many ships aren't coming. It's like there's a pipeline, you know, there's a pipeline from China to LA and other ports. There's a pipeline. And you can literally bring up a satellite map and a ship tracking website, and you can track all the ships. Just like you can track, you know, plane flights. You can track all the ships, and you can see they're mostly not there. Well, actually, they're hanging around off the east coast of China right now. They're not in the Pacific, where they would normally be if they're carrying loads, is the thing. So you already know that they're not coming. Again, this is like a hurricane forecast where the hurricane is 5 to 7 weeks out. But like, imagine this. Imagine if you knew there was going to be a hurricane in 7 weeks and you ran around telling everybody in Florida, hey, there's going to be a Category 5 hurricane in 7 weeks. And nobody believed you because they're like, there's not going to be a hurricane. Trump wouldn't let that happen, you know? he can control the hurricanes now. That's what I feel like right now. I'm like, this scarcity is 5 to 7 weeks out. We can see it. We know the ships aren't coming. We know how the pipeline works, or at least some of us know. I know, you know, a few of us realize this. You know, the average American doesn't understand anything about where products come from. See, that's why this is going to be such a shock to American consumers, especially around late June, early July. So right around July 4th, oh man, this is going to be bad. And there's literally no way to stop it in time to turn it around by July 4th, is my point. I mean, I know it's only early May, but even if Trump reached a deal Monday with China, and everybody agreed to drop all the tariffs, and China says, okay, we'll turn the factories back on, You know that they got to go get their workers again, right? And you know, half their workers went back to the countryside where they live in China. They don't really live in the cities except during the work week in like dormitories with cots. A lot of them, you know, a lot of the workers live way outside the city, and they got sent home. They're not in the city anymore. And it's going to take weeks to gather up the workers again and then to restart the domestic delivery infrastructure. And some of the supply chain shocks in China domestically have already bankrupted some of the suppliers and some of the transportation companies and some of the factories. So you actually can't just flip it back on like a light switch. So walk through this with me here. You know, if a deal is reached on Monday, which is not going to happen because China says they're going to hold out for years, you know? I mean, I hope they're wrong. I hope that this doesn't last for years. That would just be horrific. But they're not going to solve this on Monday. If they did, it'd probably be 30 days before the factories even get back online. So that's like, what, early June before they get back online? And then the factories have to get deliveries of raw materials and start making stuff. So they don't really have stuff finished until end of June. Then they load it on the sea vessels, which takes a couple of weeks. So that's halfway through July. And then it ships to the U.S., which takes 2 to 3 weeks. Let's just be generous and say end of July, it arrives in the port of L.A., and then it gets put on trucks, and there's another, at least another week, often more like 2 to 3 weeks, depending on which cities, you know, Chicago and New York, it takes longer for everything to ripple through compared to West Coast, obviously Seattle. So, you know, now you're talking August before the shelves are restocked. And that's the optimistic best case scenario, which is what I want to cover here from the story. In a optimistic scenario, if a trade deal is reached, it says that shelves could begin refilling after 4 weeks. But that analysis doesn't include the lag time of getting factories turned back on, which could easily be 30 days. So it's really not a one-month lag, it's a two-month lag if a deal is reached Monday. And a deal's not going to be reached Monday. Why? Because, well, for cultural reasons that I covered previously, because China is not going to bow down and kiss the ring of Trump. You can absolutely be 100% assured of that. Why? Because China suffered through its history, you know, the century of humiliation. China has had to bow down to the UK and the US and Western countries and imperialist colonizers way too many times. I'm talking about from their point of view. And they're done with that. They are literally done with that. China is not going to cave to the US. Of that, I am certain. And it doesn't matter how bad the economy gets in China, and it's not going to be catastrophic because the U.S. only represents 15% of Chinese exports. I mean, they export all over the world, obviously. So if they lose the U.S. market, they can still survive. The U.S. probably cannot survive without a functioning supply chain of Chinese-made goods. Remember, we've covered this over the last few days. Everything from tools and pharmaceuticals, auto parts and components, appliances, you know, hospital gear, electronics, communications, consumer goods, you know, everything you can imagine comes from China. Well, I mean, not every single thing comes from China, but I mean, China makes everything. Sometimes our retailers like Walmart might source it from, you know, Japan or Korea or Taiwan or Mexico or wherever else. But the predominant supply chain comes from China. And I've heard U.S. officials arguing that that puts us, America, in a great dominant negotiation position with China because we are the buyers. Therefore, we're in control because China needs our money. And I'm thinking, I mean, did you hear that? That's delusional. In this relationship, you have two parties. China is the producer. America is the consumer. Which one of these is much more difficult to create? It's much more difficult to be a producer. You have to have factories. You have to have domestic supply chains, raw materials, technology, workers. Yeah, consumers can be found anywhere. Anybody can consume. Peter Schiff was talking about this the other day. Consumers are a dime a dozen. Oh, you need another consumer here. Here's a whole busload of consumers. Anybody can buy shit, you know? The hard part is making stuff. So China doesn't need America to buy stuff. Anybody can buy stuff. They can find buyers anywhere. But America can't make the stuff. I mean, not anytime soon. Now, if we have a new program of setting up factories and job training and domestic supply chain building up everything, in maybe a decade, we could have something functioning on some kind of decent level. More like 20 years to really compete with China on this. And that assumes you have a culture of people willing to work in factories, which we don't. Or that you have job skills of people who can work in factories, which we don't. Or that you have domestic supply chains of all the minerals that you need, which we don't. So it is truly delusional to think that because we buy all this stuff from China, that that puts us in the power position in a negotiation. No, it doesn't. Makes us in the weakest position. the strong position is the country that has the stuff that you want. You know, the strong position is a country that's got the toasters, that can make toasters. And not just toasters, but flat-screen TVs and everything else. So U.S. officials have it completely backwards, which is even more concerning because they are negotiating from a position of delusion rather than a position of economic reality. Now, if we look at the worst-case scenario, which I have covered in the article, we're looking at, and this is after 7 weeks, we're looking at an ocean freight collapse that shipments from China could drop by 100%. Complete paralysis of trade with China, in other words, decoupling from China. That would cause desperate conditions, empty shelves, rampant theft, social unrest in urban areas across America, and long-term damage. That's inflation spirals, businesses halting expansions, unemployment spreads way beyond just logistics. All right, so that's the upshot of the Gene Soroka interview. At least that's the analysis of what he said. So what I did, you know, because of course, I want to go out more than 5 to 7 weeks. I want to find out what's going to happen if there's no deal for 16 weeks. Let's say that, you know, 4 months goes by and there's no deal. China is telling Trump to go pound sand, and you know it's a battle of egos between Trump and Xi, and neither one is budging. What happens then? So I took the timeline and the transcript of the interview with Gene, and I put that into Enoch, which is our AI engine at Brighteon.ai. And I asked Enoch to then project beyond 5 to 7 weeks. So starting at 5 to 7 weeks, yes, empty shelves, retailers running out of their backup supplies, auto parts begin to suffer shortages, inflation begins to rise, etc. Okay, what happens in 8 to 12 weeks if this continues? Then, according to Enoch, now this is a projection of our AI engine, you can decide whether you agree or disagree with the projection. I'm just reporting what AI is saying here. Now, and by the way, you can try this on ChatGPT or other AI engines. You can ask it to project what happens beyond 5 to 7 weeks. It would be interesting to see what answers you get. But here are the answers that I got. 8 to 12 weeks out, which is August, you're going to have black markets and theft beginning to surge. Looting will increase in urban areas. You're going to have underground resale markets sprouting up for electronics and medicines and tools. Yeah. Here comes the black market economy. You'll have manufacturing shutdowns beginning. A lot of U.S. factories for cars, appliances, and medical devices will halt production because they're missing Chinese parts. Tech companies such as Apple or HP, et cetera, could delay product launches indefinitely until the trade embargo is resolved. You're going to begin to see a housing market collapse. Construction will stall because you don't have the Chinese-made materials needed to build homes like PVC pipes or wiring, what have you. Home prices are then going to plummet as buyers can't get repairs done. They are afraid of whether they can ever make it happen for a house, you know, etc. So then 13 to 16 weeks out, which would be September, okay, desperation sets in. Then you're going to have, if this continues, if we don't have a deal and production hasn't resumed, okay, then you're going to have food and medicine shortages, including antibiotics, vitamins, because most vitamins are made in China. You're going to have pharmaceuticals running low. You'll have grocery stores rationing canned goods, including rice and frozen foods, because they rely on Chinese packaging and some meat products as well. You're going to have a currency and a financial crisis. Hyperinflation will begin to, you know, rear its head. I'm not saying full-blown hyperinflation, but you're going to see the purchasing power of the dollar plunge as prices skyrocket. The stock market will likely crash as corporate earnings collapse, although that can be delayed for some time because many corporations can delay their earnings reports, you know, for a quarter or so. So that might not happen right away, but eventually that will be realized. You're going to have civil unrest and riots will erupt in major cities over shortages of food and other supplies. The military might be deployed to secure ports and distribution centers as the rioting masses try to raid the ports or raid trucks or raid distribution centers. Government may begin to ration essential goods, such as medicine and food and fuel. So we're looking at the possibility of mass rationing controlled by the government. And wouldn't that be a great time for the government to roll out a central bank digital currency with biometric scans, you know, total control over the population, which seems to be one of the goals. Now then, what happens if there's still no deal reached? So beyond 16 weeks, beyond September, what happens? According to the Enoch analysis, it's permanent economic damage. Millions will be unemployed. Factories will fail. Retail outlets will go bankrupt in large numbers. There will be a logistics collapse, logistics and transportation. The U.S. will be forced to try to rebuild supply chains from scratch, a process that will take many years, which means that the suffering will endure for years to come if a trade deal isn't reached. There will be global ripple effects, including the bad news in Europe, Canada, Mexico, because there's a lot of trade between the U.S. and all those countries. But with U.S. companies going broke and U.S. consumers not having as much to spend anymore because of dollar devaluation, Americans will buy less stuff from all the other countries as well. China's economy will also collapse, according to the Enoch projection, because of the losses from the exports. Now, I just said earlier that China's exports are only 15% to the United States, so I would disagree with Enoch here. I don't think China will collapse from losing 15% of its exports, but this is what Enoch is saying, that China's economy will collapse. Maybe it's right, and I'm wrong. And if China's economy does collapse, then that's going to spur a global recession, and that damage will spread, of course, to other Asian nations. You know, massive domino effect. So if you look at all of this, it becomes rather apparent that Trump and China only have a few weeks to reach a deal in order to avoid really catastrophic long-term damage to the U.S. economy. And as I mentioned earlier, for whatever reason, there's a certain group of Trump supporters that are just living in absolute denial of this, even though they can see the ships aren't sailing and the goods aren't coming in, but there's this disconnect, you know, cognitive dissonance. They're like, well, the shelves won't be empty because Trump's our man. It doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't matter to me whether you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump or you love Orange Man or you think Orange Man's bad. It doesn't matter. I'm talking about cause and effect here. I'm talking about the fact that the stuff that appears on the shelves doesn't appear by magic. Nobody waves a magic wand. It actually gets manufactured. I mean, I know this sounds, so I'm not trying to sound condescending, okay? I'm just trying to remind all of us of the really complex supply chain of where this stuff comes from and how long it takes to get in. And there's a great example of this, which is the pencil. How complex is it to make a pencil? As simple as the item seems to be, nobody in America knows how to make a pencil. Nobody. You know why? Think about it. You think about all the components that have to be made. First of all, somebody's got to source all the graphite, which is the so-called lead. It's not actually made out of lead. It's graphite. Somebody's got to make that and purify that. Somebody's got to make the wood for the pencil, like source the wood, you know, cut the trees, process the trees, requires all kinds of machines, all kinds of saws, and Sanders and everything to make the shape of the pencil. And then somehow you got to put the graphite inside of it. I don't even know how that happens. And then, you know, you got to paint it, right? Because pencils are painted, mostly yellow. That's paint. So now somebody's got to make paint. Well, how do you make paint from scratch? You know, use an old Native American recipe or something. I don't know, but it involves chemicals, right? It involves pigments. It involves giant mixing vats and liquid handling equipment and probably, you know, time and energy, etc., just to make paint. And then you got to paint the pencils. And is there a guy with a paintbrush that paints the pencils by hand? No. They're painted by machines. So you got to have those machines. Otherwise, the pencils become insanely expensive because they're hand-painted. Nobody wants hand-painted pencils. And then, stay with me here, there's an eraser and a metal band, okay? So the eraser supposed to be rubber, right? So now you got to get rubber from somewhere. Rubber comes from trees. But the trees only grow in certain parts of the world, you know, like Brazil, for example. So now you got to have supply chain logistics and ships that can even go get the rubber, and the local people have to know how to tap the rubber, which is a kind of a latex-like substance that comes out of the trees. I mean, it is a latex type of substance. So, and then you got to get that rubber and you got to form it into the shape of a pencil eraser, which has a very specific diameter. And the only way to do that is to have machines that do that, because you also can't do that by hand. And then there's a little metal band that's crimped around the eraser and the pencil to crimp the eraser onto the top of the pencil. Is this any of this ringing a bell? Like, we're all old enough here. We grew up with pencils and pens and things, you know, before the internet. So, you know, because in school, you probably chewed on that eraser from time to time, right? And you realize there's a metal band in there. Well, how do you make a metal band? So now you got to have mining and smelting operations in order to get the metal. And then there has to be a metal forming operation to somehow form that into a cylindrical shape and then crimp it around the pencil with the eraser. That requires a completely different machine also. So in order to make one pencil, you have to have a vast infrastructure of metal smelting, rubber tapping, international shipping and logistics, chemicals and paint production and wood harvesting and wood sawing and graphite production and composition and logistics and shipping and everything to make one pencil. And the only reason that you can go buy a box of pencils at Walmart for whatever it is, $1.50, or you can go to the dollar store and get some pencils for maybe $1.25, the only reason that's possible is because China makes the pencils by the millions. They make them so cheaply because of efficiencies, economies of scale. And then they load them onto ships with forklifts on pallets, and then the ships steam across the Pacific, and then they're unloaded with cranes and forklifts at the port of LA, and then they're distributed to your local Walmart. That's the only way that those pencils only cost whatever, 10 cents each. If you didn't have that whole system, you know what a pencil would cost? It'd be more like $10 each. Because you got to pay the painter, the metals guy, the rubber guy, the graphite guy, you know, $10 pencil. Instead, it's a 10 cent pencil right now because of China. And that's about to end. I mean, a lot of it has ended. And now the effects are rippling through the system. So, if we don't restart that system, and let's be honest, Trump has so far said that he does not even have the goal of restoring normalized trade with China. That is not his goal. He has said repeatedly his goal is to stop importing from China and set up factories in America and thereby support American jobs, etc. Okay. Okay, great. So what he's saying is, he does not intend to restore trade with China, you know, normal imports from China. He has no such intention. So even if you're out there thinking, oh, they'll make a deal. Look, to make a deal, both sides have to want to make a deal. Right now, we know for sure Trump doesn't want to make a deal. And if you know anything about China and Xi, there are also a lot of pressures domestically in China against Xi making a deal. Now, yeah, there's a lot of domestic pressure losses among factories there that are suffering. So they might be pressuring him. But in the big picture, Xi might be saying to himself, we need to break our addiction to U.S. imports. Look how unreliable the United States is as a trading partner. And plus, we don't want to use the dollar anymore. We don't want to subject ourselves to dollar sanctions. China may be in the phase, seems likely, they're selling off treasuries. They're not buying treasuries. They're selling them off. They're buying gold. They're embracing BRICS. They are clearly planning to decouple from America. So out of these two parties, Trump and Xi, it seems to me that neither one of them wants a deal. Neither one. Now, domestically, they're both getting pressure. In China, Xi's getting pressure from his domestic factories. And in America, Trump's getting pressure from the retailers like Walmart and Amazon. Big time pressure. So Trump and Xi are getting pressured by their own people to make a deal. And maybe that will cause them to sit down and actually make a deal. But understand that Trump and Xi themselves do not seem interested in making a deal. So I'm not confident that a deal will be made. And of course, there are many possible outcomes here. You know, best case scenario, at least in the short term, is they reach a deal on Monday. And you could say maybe medium case scenario is they reach a deal in a month. A bad case scenario is they reach a deal in 3 months. A horrible case scenario is they reach a deal in 6 months. And like a catastrophic scenario is they just don't reach a deal at all. And there's no more imports from China. And why do I say that's catastrophic? Well, as much as I support U.S. jobs and U.S. workers and U.S. factories, etc., we simply don't have the infrastructure in place. And like I said earlier, it could take us 10 to 20 years to build that infrastructure. And what are Americans supposed to do for 10 to 20 years? Just wait around, like hoping that somebody else will sell us all the components from China? You know, what are we supposed to do? Just live in poverty and collapse and hyperinflation and scarcity, you know? While Trump tells us just wait for the factories. They're coming in 2035 or whatever. You know, that is not going to fly. You know, America will burn itself down in less than a year if we don't get imports from China. You know, regardless of what Trump wants to do, the American people don't have an appetite for suffering. The American people are not going to sit back and just chill while the supply line collapses and the shelves go empty and they can't buy the stuff that they're used to buying and the pharmaceuticals run out, you know, the frozen foods are gone, etc. And, you know, the car companies stop making cars, on and on. The American people are not going to sit back. They're going to get angry and there's going to be an uprising. So it would seem to me that Trump should have an incentive to restore trade with China in order to avert a domestic revolt. But I don't see any indication that that is at the top of his list. He appears committed to this idea of decoupling from China and replacing it with domestic factories that mostly do not exist. You see the problem here, right? I mean, look, I've built factories. Okay, I mean, my company builds, you know, we built all our own facilities. We're building now. We've built buildings and manufacturing, and I'm not saying that it's massive, but, you know, it won't be long before it's 100,000 square feet or something, you know, it's at least on the projection to that. And it's not a small thing, and even I can tell you the difficulty of constructing a manufacturing facility, especially if you're cut off from China. Okay, so let me explain this. When we build our food manufacturing facilities, we have to have certain materials in order to be FDA compliant and GMP compliant. That's good manufacturing practices. And just right offhand, there are three things that all come from China. One is the epoxy floors. Two is the FRP walls, which are non-porous wall material where fungi and mold cannot grow. And they're slick and they're easily cleaned and they're, you know, it's a polymer material. Again, non-porous, okay? And that's what all good food manufacturing facilities should be using. And then third, in order to put the FRP up, you have to have glues. The glues come from China. So right there, this doesn't even count the electronic components and all the electrical outlets and the air filters and the, you know, the components in the HVAC systems, the air handlers, the nitrogen compressors, everything you can imagine, right? All of this stuff, or the vast majority of it, comes from China. Now, we do have a large Hitachi compressor that I think comes from Japan. But when you get into compressors and nitrogen separators and whatever, you're going to, most of that stuff comes out of China. So think about this. If Trump says to American companies, hey, we're going to cut off China, and then now you build factories in America, anybody who's ever built factories in America is going to say, hey, we can't build factories when we're cut off from China because we need Chinese parts to build the factories in America. Like I just said, we need the glues, we need the epoxies, we need the electronics, we need the materials, we need the specialty components, we need the electrical outlets, the fuses, you know, all of it, all comes from China. So it is literally impossible to cut off China and then replace China by building factories in America. It is literally impossible without Chinese components. So this is why I'm so baffled by the lack of understanding, or I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just procrastination, but I don't see very many people paying attention to this. Even though a pretty bad scenario is only 5 to 7 weeks out, and it's clear that by July 4th, this is going to be something like a COVID lockdown level scarcity emergency. And mark my words, there's going to be a day, probably in June, sometime in June, where it just kind of hits home with people, when there's this mass realization, 100th monkey concept, you know, mass realization that, hey, whoa, the shelves are going empty. And maybe that day is June 15th. I don't know. Maybe it's June 20th. I don't know what day that is. But until that day comes, most people are living in a state of denial. Nothing bad's going to happen. It's all going to work itself out. I've heard people say things like that, which are wildly irrational. I've heard people say, well, just stay positive. I'm like, well, how does staying positive load more pallets onto ships in Beijing, you know, or Shanghai? How does staying positive cause ships to sail to the port of LA? Turns out that staying positive does not restock shelves. You know, astonishingly, it does not. And then people say, well, it'll work itself out. Well, what kind of answer is that? What do you mean it'll work itself out? No, it's not going to work itself out. It's just products are going to be out. You know, I mean, by what means are products going to appear if they're not arriving and if they're not being shipped and if they're not being made? By what means will those products arrive? I don't know. People say, I don't know. It's just going to work itself out. Okay. That's the lowest IQ answer imaginable. It's just going to work itself out. Well, I mean, I suppose the answer for people who are prepared, it will work out because you have extra stuff. Like, you pre-purchased the stuff made in China because you anticipated this like an intelligent person, and you saw what was coming in 5 to 7 weeks, and you're like, hey, I should buy the stuff I'm going to need for the rest of this year if it's made in China, for a rational reason, which is that the ships aren't sailing. And then If we are pleasantly surprised by a deal between Trump and Xi, then, you know, great. Then we just have extra stuff and we don't have to purchase as much later in the year. Okay, so stockpiling supplies makes a lot of sense. Now, another thing that I've heard from some people is like, oh, well, you must be working for the CCP now. You say you want trade with China. You must be a Chinese agent. It's like, okay, whatever. Are you insane? Not wanting empty shelves doesn't make me a CCP agent. And besides, they would hate my guts because I repeatedly call Taiwan an independent nation. So the CCP wants nothing to do with me. Believe me on that point. I'm like, Taiwan is its own country. It's got its own elections, its own president, its own currency, its own banking system, its own, you know, embassies, effectively everything. Like, that's the last thing China wants to hear, you know? I used to live in Taiwan. I mean, that's where I learned to speak Chinese. And I love Taiwan and the Taiwan people. And the funny thing is that the Taiwan people are also Chinese. So when you talk to people in Taiwan and you ask them, like, what ethnicity are you? Oh, I'm Chinese. Because they're all the same people, you know, except for the indigenous populations in Taiwan, sort of like the Pacific Islander indigenous populations, you know what I mean? But most of the Taiwan people that live in Taiwan today are the descendants of people who came from China during Chiang Kai-shek and the splitting off, you know, from the communists versus the nationalists. And so what I'm saying is they are all Chinese people. They're all the same people. And it is true that I have nice things to say about people of Chinese ethnicity. And you've heard me on this podcast. You've heard me say how much I'm impressed with, you know, the intelligence of Russians and Ukrainians, for example. Highly intelligent people, right? Or how much I'm impressed with the robust engineering of the German people, or how much I'm impressed with the engineering precision of the Japanese people. And, you know, many other examples of this, right? Well, I'm impressed with the Chinese people, all Chinese people, in terms of their intelligence, their resilience, their endurance, and their ability to endure suffering. And that's a point that I don't think the Trump administration has any awareness of. That is the ability of the Chinese people to endure suffering for a long period of time. A long period of time. And saying nice things about ethnic Chinese does not make me a CCP agent. Not at all. I'm an American. I'm a Texan. I'm pro-America. I think I'm pro-America than anybody in Washington, D.C., by the way, because they seem to put America last. I'm way more pro-America than any of our elected officials, it turns out. But I have knowledge of Chinese people that is highly relevant to this understanding. And because I lived among them, because I speak their language, because I, you know, celebrated holidays with them, dragon boat racing and the whole thing, and mooncakes and all of it, I know Chinese people. I can tell you they are long-term thinkers and they can endure incredible suffering and hardship, the likes of which the American people have never seen, not since the Great Depression. And most of those people are not even around anymore in America. So these are relevant facts. These are cultural facts that are relevant to this economic crisis, this supply chain crisis. And I have been trying to present the actual cause and effect facts of the situation. And you can probably hear the frustration in my voice. I've been met with, overall, like online, on social media, just unbelievable levels of ignorance. Like, people don't know, or I should say Americans don't know where stuff comes from. I shouldn't be surprised because, you know, me being a food scientist and coming out of the food industry, I learned long ago that nobody knows where their food comes from either. It's like you ask a teenager, you know, where does a burrito come from? And they're like, the frozen food section? No. How does a burrito come to be? You know, they stuff it into a plastic bag and freeze it. You know, mostly people below the age of 20 have no idea where food comes from. Mostly. Now, the homeschooled kids that live on ranches, yeah, they know. Like, they're the smart ones, you know, they're the capable ones. The unvaccinated homeschooled kids, you know, with their brains still functioning, they're smart, they're capable, they're the future. I'm talking about the public school kids have no clue. And then they grow up, and then they become elected officials eventually, and they still have no clue where anything comes from. This was shocking to me. Like, nobody has any idea where anything comes from. So it's, you know, it's a weird thing. Like, a typical American walking through Walmart just thinks everything's here. Like, look, there it is. It's on the shelf, you know. I'm in the kitchen aisle. I'm in the home goods aisle, whatever. I'm in the toys aisle. I'm in the pet supplies aisle. It's all here. What do you mean? Where does it come from? It's here. It's right here. That's their view. And they don't know that at odd hours in the morning, 3 a.m., there are Walmart workers running around restocking the shelves by unwrapping cases and boxes and pallets that get offloaded from trucks in the back of the store. Have you ever been to the back of the Walmart store? Ever been back there? It's just unloading trucks and unloading pallets, and it's got pallet jacks rolling them around and barcode scanners. You know, it's actually a smooth operation. Walmart is good at logistics. And they restock those shelves like magic. And then the next morning, you know, the early morning, you know, 65 plus crowd comes in at 5:30 shopping before the sun comes up, and the shelves are magically refilled. And that's why nobody knows where anything comes from, because they never saw it. They never saw the supply chain. The supply chain is invisible to most people. Well, that may be about to change if Trump and she don't make a deal, which, like I said, it seems like they're not even interested in making a deal. If they don't make a deal, the American people are about to learn a very harsh lesson in supply chain reality. And that lesson begins in 5 to 7 weeks. Hey, at least we know the timeline. That's good news. See, I could turn this into an optimistic podcast. Yes, we know the timeline. We know the countdown. The fuse is lit, but it's a long-ass fuse. We know how many weeks this is going to be because we know how fast the ships sail, and we know how many ships are missing, etc. We know roughly the level of the buffer of the inventory that's currently in the retail domestic chain. So we can say 5 to 7 weeks, we're going to be okay up until 5 to 7 weeks. And then the shortages will just start just here and there. And then after 7 weeks, it's going to get worse and worse and worse unless a deal is reached. So let me ask you this question. Why would Trump do a deal that stops the tariffs? Wouldn't that be really an admission of failure on Trump's part if he were to give in? And at the same time, if she were to give in somehow, I'm not sure how he would even give in. Because actually, China didn't start this. You know, Trump started it on April 2nd, Liberation Day. It's an odd name. So she would just be saying, you know, make it go back to the way it was before April 2nd. And Trump is going to be saying, no, I'm not going to give in. We're going to make you do something. What does Trump want China to do? And if you really think about this, the answer is Trump wants China to die. Trump doesn't want China to export more products to America. Otherwise, he would drop tariffs. Trump wants China to die. Trump is using this as a weapon to collapse China's domestic economy. So this is a strategic weapon of war that just happens to involve every American and their pocketbook and price inflation and empty shelves. You see what I'm saying? And the idea from Trump's point of view, well, really it's Trump's people, you know, those around Trump who want to destroy China, the idea is to bankrupt China, cause an economic collapse, and really a color revolution uprising and overthrow the CCP. Like, that's the real plan. And that's been a plan for a long time, even before Trump. This has been the plan. Just like they wanted to destroy Russia and completely control Russia, you know, they had Gorbachev years back, and they thought, you know, the Westerners thought they were going to exploit Russia's resources, and Russia was going to join the West and become basically a satellite nation to be pillaged by America. And then, you know, that didn't work. But that's what America wants to do to China, is basically destroy China's current political leadership and have it be overthrown. And probably the CIA will be involved there, trying to have whatever kind of social unrest that they can, you know, inflict upon China, etc. And yeah, China has similar actions against America, like the fentanyl drug trade to weaken America's male youth, etc. You know, China unleashes TikTok on America as a cultural weapon of wokeism and idiocy, you know. So the U.S. and China wage fifth generational warfare against each other. Some of it's economic, some of it's cultural, some of it's informational, some of it's intellectual property, some of it's currency, currency wars, currency manipulation, gold, debt, treasuries, you know. These are all the different weapons of warfare. Well, this trade war that Trump has unleashed against China is a weapon with the goal of collapsing China's economy and fomenting a revolution, an uprising to overthrow the government regime in China. That's what this is. And Trump cannot achieve that if he gives in and drops the tariffs. So I don't see Trump wanting a deal with China. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll have some other reason. Maybe he'll just figure out it's too painful for America to suffer this, the empty shelves. Maybe he'll figure this out in July, you know, July 4th, in the middle of his military parade or whatever's going to happen on July 4th. You know, this is going to be ugly. It's going to be very painful, I think, for American consumers. And I suppose there's a chance that it could achieve the desired goal. I mean, China does have financial problems. It's got too much debt with the real estate Ponzi scheme scandals that, you know, Evergrande and that whole thing that's actually still playing out. So China does have some financial weakness, but China has the infrastructure for manufacturing, not just consumer goods, but also ships and naval ships and, you know, missiles. China's got robot factories churning out military missiles and all kinds of things. So I think it would be foolish to think that China is so fragile that you could just take them down by not buying their stuff. I think that's very short-sighted and foolish, and I don't think it will work, because, again, I know that the Chinese people are capable of enduring tremendous suffering and also suffering for the benefit or for the victory of their own nation. So the Chinese people can be very patriotic in times of war, I guess as anybody can, but they're willing to endure great hardship in order to not be conquered by the West. And that's the way it's going to be presented domestically to the Chinese people. I mean, it's already being presented that way. And the Chinese government probably is already releasing these memes, video memes. You may have seen some of them that are mocking Americans for being, you know, slow, obese, unskilled, fat-fingered workers. And you know, that's the way China sees America, as weak. And America, our current America, is far weaker than America used to be in World War II, or even just two generations ago. So yeah, America has become pretty apathetic. It's become, you know, the skill sets of making things have largely vanished. You know, the resilience of the typical American person now is nothing but a shadow of what it was with their grandparents or great-grandparents. So, you know, there is there's credibility in the accusation that the American people can't last very long in this trade war. So the bottom line, folks, and I'll wrap this up, is I don't have a crystal ball, obviously. And so I don't know how this is going to play out. I don't know who wins or loses. I mean, right now we're all losing. Because I think that fair and free trade benefits everyone. But I also think that it was a huge mistake to offshore all our manufacturing. You know, Ross Perot was right. That giant second sound that actually happened. But the giant second sound sent all our factories over to Asia. But that happened decades ago. You know, the giant sucking sound is in the rearview mirror by 30 years. So you can't just reverse that overnight. But yes, Ross Perot was right. And it's funny because when Ross Perot was running for office, I remember I was on an airplane to Hong Kong. That's funny. I specifically remember seeing the newspaper of Ross Perot. Something significant happened. I was literally on an airplane to Hong Kong from Taiwan. That's a funny memory. But anyway, Ross Perot was right. And yet, just because he's right, it doesn't mean we can bring it all back, because the very same business people in America right now that are, you know, trying to profit from war and from new government handouts and everything, those are the people that offshored our manufacturing. They took the jobs away from America and moved them over to China because it was more profit to do so. But that already happened. That's long gone. So would we have been smarter to maintain factories in America this entire time? Yes. Yes, we would have been. We would have had more skills. We would have had more capable youth. We would have had more physically fit people, probably. But we would all be paying more for products, that's for sure. But they would have been higher quality products this whole time. But that did not happen. So we can't play, you know, what if alternate reality. We have to deal with the reality that we're living in right now. And in this reality, we don't have the factories anymore. China does. So what we do from here is our choice. In terms of practical items, I would just strongly suggest that you stockpile critical supplies, which would include things that you would typically purchase that are made in China. And if you don't know if they're made in China, ask any AI engine, you know, they all know. Secondly, be ready for Trump to say no for a long time. And all the scenarios that I was talking about earlier, which could be, you know, civil unrest and uprising and mass looting and even military, you know, martial law type of announcements, be ready for that. That could happen. That could very easily happen in America this year. I'm not saying it's going to, but I'm saying there's a feasible pathway where that happens. And get ready to pay through the nose for anything made in China, because there will be black markets and alternate routes. You know, China will ship stuff to Mexico, and then a Mexican company will put a made in Mexico label on it, repackage it in Espanol, and then drive it across the border and charge you extra, you know? So yeah, you're still going to get Chinese goods, but they'll come through Mexico or India or Canada or somewhere else. It's basically laundered Chinese goods with extra prices on them and extra delays. And that's going to be and that's going to be a circus, man. Just trying to find out where you can buy, you know, the stuff that you need. Whew. It's going to be a ride. All right. In the meantime, too, of course, we've got supplies. And at our store, healthrangerstore.com, for over 10 years, we have all but decoupled from China in terms of raw materials. So, you know, we buy almost nothing from China. So aside from the packaging materials, the lids and pumps and bottles and things like that, a lot of that stuff does come from China. Even though it's sold to us by U.S. importers, it's made in China. But our products themselves, the actual materials of the product, we get almost nothing from China. So we've got goods, and even the knives that we have that we co-designed with Dawson Knives, you know, the kick-ass knives, machetes, the hatchets, the survival knives, Escape from LA. That's, remember that knife? We have all that, and it's made in Arizona using steel from New York. Okay? Very cool. Very cool stuff. Everything about that, you know, is made in America. So you can find those at healthrangerstore.com. Now, our other main sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, a lot of that stuff is made in China. You know, the solar generators, China for the most part, solar panels across the whole industry, largely China, sometimes Korea, sometimes America, but China's the biggest producer of solar panels. You know, what's going to happen if you can't get solar panels from China? Well, scarcity. Prices will skyrocket. Even satellite phones, if you think about it, where are satellite phones made? I mean, I don't know the answer for every phone and every brand, but I would imagine that most of the satellite phones are probably using components from China, if not largely, you know, sourced from China. Maybe they're assembled in Mexico, or they're assembled in Canada, or they're assembled in the USA, but, and this is just my guess, I apologize if I'm wrong, but I would think that most of those components come from China. Radios, ham radios, you know, two-way radios, all that stuff, like Baofeng, that radio brand, which is very popular among preppers, that's all China. You know, headsets, headphones, flashlights, lithium-ion batteries, everything. China. China, China, China. And, you know, 70% of what's sold on Amazon.com reportedly comes from China. So, gonna get interesting, folks. Anyway, do what you can, and I guess my positive note in all of this is it's good news that we know so many weeks ahead. So yeah, storm's coming, but it's not just 5 days out. It's 5 to 7 weeks out, and even then, that's just the beginning of where it's going. So if you just take action here, I would say, frankly, I don't think most Americans are going to have any clue what's happening till mid-June. So I think you got about 30 days, actually, to stock up before, you know, normies figure out what's going on. But I might be wrong. I don't know. Or maybe Trump solves it next week, and then this has all been an exercise. That, you know, this has been a test, only a test. Okay, fine. Then we'll just have extra made-in-China stuff sitting around, but we'll use it. Just buy stuff that you use, and you just be buying it ahead of time. So that's my best advice, okay? You don't have to panic. We don't have to be afraid. We can be confident in facing what's coming because we know. We know what's coming. And the reason that you can have confidence that this is coming is because Gene Soroka of the Port of Los Angeles just told you what's coming, and he runs the port. You know, it's like naysayers out there. Hey, what's your source? The guy that runs the port. That's my source. Oh, okay. You know, well, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Yeah, he's only the guy that runs the whole port. Pretty sure he knows how many containers are moving through that port. He also seems like a very intelligent guy, by the way. Mr. Soroka there. I think he did a good job breaking that down. I wonder if Gene Soroka is going to be panicked in about 5 to 7 weeks and see him like freaking out on Bloomberg News or CNBC, sweating it. It's like, we've got no ships. No, I think he's a cool cat. He won't do that. All right. Thank you for listening. Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. Also, take advantage of our Mother's Day sale event right now. HealthRangerStore.com/Mother's Day. It's on right now. We've got a lot of specials. We've got stuff in stock because, like I said, we make it in Texas. And so we're sitting on some pretty nice inventory right now for you. Some really amazing discounts and products. Like, these are the last discounts I think we're ever going to be able to offer, given what's happening to the supply chain. Anyway, check it out. HealthRangerStore.com/Mother's Day. And thank you for your support. Get prepared. Have a great weekend. Take care. You work a job.
your life away. Your take-home check can't even pay for basic groceries or income tax. They give a refund, then they take it back. You save some dollars to get ahead while crooks are printing every day at the Fed. The cash you earn, they print for free, 'cause they're deflating all our currency. Someone explain what's happening. More debt, the bankers laughing, not trying to be exacting, but good God, the math ain't mathing. The math ain't mathing.
Oh yeah.
Now we know what's happening. That math ain't mathing. The math ain't mathing. You can't afford to pay your car loan. They repossessed your broke down mobile phone. You borrow money just to try to survive. It's not enough though, 'cause the rent is too damn high. Everybody wants to get ahead, but currency sliding in the red. Everybody wants to find a way to keep what they make. Explain what's happening. More debt, the bankers laughing, not trying to be exacting, but good God, the math ain't mathing. The math ain't mathing.
Oh yeah.
Now we know what's happening. That math ain't mathing. The math ain't mathing. It means they're thieving away, empty your pockets, living broke every day. They print their riches while we lose our cash, and it's never gonna change until we take our money back. Someone explain what's happening. More debt, the bankers laughing, not trying to be exacting, but good God, the math ain't.
All right, we've put together some really amazing product kits that are discounted as a whole for Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all of the moms out there from myself and healthrangerstore.com. And check this out. We put together this kit. It's called Mom's Aromatherapy Oasis. So what we have here for you are seven essential oil products that are all laboratory tested. We have organic Breathe essential oil blend, organic immunity blend, frankincense essential oil, lavender, eucalyptus, rosemary, and sweet orange, all together with an overall savings of over $31 compared to purchasing them separately. This is a bonus kit. Again, Mom's Aromatherapy Oasis. These are some of my favorite essential oils. I especially love frankincense. And personally, I use frankincense with DMSO because I like to really drive frankincense deeper into the tissues. It's got amazing properties.
So some of these are designed just to use in a nebulizer, some of them for topical use, but they all have amazing benefits. You can get it all right now during our Mother's Day sale. Just go to healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. No space, no apostrophe, just Mother's Day all together. And you'll save about 30% compared to purchasing these separately because we have the bundle price. Again, it's called Mom's Aromatherapy Oasis. It's available now, healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day during our Mother's Day sale event, where you also get double points back. And if you want to get delivery of this for sure before Mother's Day, order this before May 1st, but you can also order after. We just can't 100% guarantee delivery by Mother's Day. But we thank you for your support, and we are grateful for all the moms out there that help create a future for the human race. Thank you so much. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.
I've got an update for you. Mike Adams here. Thank you for all your support. And I want to let you know here what we are investing in that's going to benefit you and really the world, I would say. I mean, you be the judge. But when you shop with us at healthrangerstore.com, with the profit that we generate there, we put it back into the kinds of things that I'm describing here today. So let me run through them. First of all, we've just upgraded our digital microscope, and the new microscope is on the way. And these microscopes, the good ones with the lenses and everything, you know, they start at about 100K. It's not an inexpensive thing, but we'll be able to do even higher magnification, but importantly, a better in-focus videos and tracking of moving objects, as well as greatly improved depth of field photography. So we'll be able to photograph what's in the chemtrail samples, what's in the fallout, food contaminants, you know, anything along these lines, insect snacks, you know, what's in fast food, you name it. We'll be able to have a much better look. So that's the first thing, and that's right around the corner. We should have some new images for you in less than 2 weeks. On our AI project now, we're in the final stages of releasing it, and initially we'll have two tiers available. There's the free public tier, which is free, but it's rate limited. And then we have a VIP tier for our customers who are able to use it and get instant answers instead of queued answers and a lot more volume that is allowed through there. And the good news is even as we have been delayed in this project for 2 months now, during those 2 months, the AI efficiency has greatly improved. So we're able to pretty quickly upgrade things right after we roll them out within the next few weeks. But you'll have access to the engines. Brighteon.ai is the site to go to. And to show you what it's capable of, if you look at the last three stories, or I think four stories that I've written on naturalnews.com, if you go to the homepage, on the left column is stories by the Health Ranger. You'll note that every one of those stories on DMSO, baking soda, green tea, etc., our Enoch engine has done all the primary research for those stories, saving me hours of time, allowing me to publish stories now once a day. So I think that Enoch can help you in a similar way as how it's helping me. And if you prompt it correctly, you can eliminate any pharma bias. You can eliminate pro-vaccine propaganda, pro-pharma propaganda, you know, globalist propaganda, everything. And our engine will answer truthfully about topics like depopulation and, you know, COVID vaccine jabs, chemtrails, all kinds of things. So you're going to find this to be incredibly refreshing. And we are approaching close to $2 million invested in that project. And I'm not at all complaining. I'm happy to spend the money on that. I wish I could have spent $3 million and had it faster. But you know, that's not the way R&D always works. But in any case, It's because of your support of us that we are able to invest $2 million into an AI engine and release it to the public for free. We couldn't do it, you know, without your support. So we have a Mother's Day sale event happening right now, healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day, if you want to check out all the specials there and help support us. All right, the next thing is that we are building a very large new studio. And I should take a picture, but I don't know. It hasn't been decorated yet, but the building's been done for a while. We've got the stage all done. The control room is done. We are now in the process of doing all the decorations and the furniture and the lab equipment and building out the kitchen studio corner for this new set. And electricians are installing all the electrical conduit at the moment, too. So lighting is coming. Anyway, that's a few months out. But I'm hoping that sometime late summer, we'll be able to start filming in the new studio. And I've decided that the new studio is going to be about 50% lab experiments. So it's basically going to be a glorified, you know, mad science video studio, really, if you think about it, with a kitchen in it, so we can show all kinds of smoothie recipes and even meal recipes and things like that. So on top of that, the lab experiments that we're going to be running, a lot of it is how-to information, like how can you make your own medicinal extract? You know, how can you turn herbs into medicine? How can you make your own colloidal silver water from silver coins and 9-volt batteries? Now, I know I did a video on that a few years back, but we're going to redo the video with our new studio, multiple camera angles, make it look much better. And I'm going to show you lots of prepping things, how to use D-limonene, how to use baking soda, how to use it with vinegar even for like drain cleaners and things like that. And in the new studio, I can also show you things about firearms and how to use coconut oil for cleaning firearms, for example. I can demonstrate that. We can do it all on camera. And it's going to be a whole new, better way to show you a lot of things so you can be more hands-on. So that's all coming. And that building and that studio is not a small expenditure, as you might imagine. I mean, it is its own building. And when that goes online, it's going to be amazing. It also gives us the opportunity to bring in more in-person guests and to bring in other in-person hosts. So I'm talking to a few people right now about doing their own shows with us or just doing an occasional show. Whenever they're in town, they can swing by and do a show. And so we're going to be able to bring you a lot more free content from experts with hands-on demonstrations in a very valuable way. And that's all coming in just a few months. And I think you'll really love our new studio. I can't wait to show it to you. Now, before that, my co-host Todd Pittner and I, we have filmed a docuseries called Breaking the Chains, How to Decentralize Your Life. And that begins streaming May 17th at brightyou.com. So you can go there now, and there's another program running at the moment, but if you register for that program, you'll be registered for my upcoming program at the same time. So just go to BrightU. That's the word bright followed by the letter U. BrightU.com. Register there with your email and your first name, and you'll be registered. You'll be able to watch the entire docuseries beginning May 17th, streaming free of charge, about how to decentralize your life, break free from centralized control, in everything, finance, privacy, food, medicine, you know, security, everything that you can imagine. It's the first docuseries that I've actually produced, and I think you're going to love it. So again, brightyou.com for that. All right, another thing that we have invested in is our GC, a triple quad mass spec instrument in the lab. GC standing for gas chromatography, of course, and we have finally been able to nearly bring dioxin testing online. And the hard part of it was not the testing, it was the sample prep, it turns out. Because the dioxins that you're looking for in food are in the lipids, and you're looking for dioxins in foods with a lot of, you know, fats in them, like cheese and milk and meat and things like that. So the sample prep is a complex process of removing lipids while retaining dioxins. And that process, it turns out, is a tricky process. It's also an expensive process, which explains why dioxin testing is so expensive. If you send out dioxin tests to outside labs, in some cases they could charge you $1,000 or more per test. Well, we're going to be doing a lot of those tests, checking for dioxins in many off-the-shelf products, and of course, adding dioxin testing to our own in-house testing protocols, so that you know that the products that we sell, such as whey protein or, you know, cream powder, butter powder, etc., are not loaded up with crazy dioxins that, you know, dioxins cause cancer. So we're going to be doing that testing and confirming the clean foods that we sell with one more test. And that's on top of the heavy metals test and the glyphosate testing. And, you know, depending on the food, aflatoxin testing or radiological testing or other tests that we conduct, including E. coli, salmonella, yeast and mold, other things. So we continue to expand our testing spectrum. And there's another one that we're going to be adding later this year that I won't even mention yet, but we've already made the investment in the key equipment for that. And once we have that in place, I can't wait to show it to you, because that test is very visual. Unlike a lot of mass spec instruments that just show peaks and data and numbers and parts per billion concentrations, this other test we're going to be doing is very visual. It's very cool. And I can't wait to show you that. So this calendar year, 2025, we'll be adding two new tests to our product line, which we already test more than anybody else that I can even think of by far. We have the strictest standards and the most tests, and we're adding two more tests to that. So we are dedicated to clean food and clean products and clean supplements. And if you want to support us, shop at healthrangerstore.com. And we've also just added a partnership with pharmacist Ben Fuchs with his Truth Treatments, a skincare line based on nutrition for your skin. Nothing like cheap, you know, skincare or cosmetics or lotion garbage that you find out there. Check it all out. I've got a new interview coming out with Ben Fuchs, but you can go to healthrangerstore.com/skincare and you can see the products that we have partnered with him to make available. And the best one being the vitamin C serum. I mean, that's the most popular one that everybody really loves. So in summary, we're going to be bringing you more videos, more how-to videos, the new docuseries, which has a lot of how-to information. We're bringing you more articles each day, and then we're bringing you this AI knowledge base of basically forbidden human knowledge. And then there's another thing I forgot to mention. I'm producing a series of mini documentaries about hidden cures and hidden history. And these videos, which will be anywhere from like 5 to 7 minutes in duration, roughly, they're all going to be posted at healthrangerreport.com starting in a couple of weeks. And we'll be posting probably 1 to 2 new documentaries per week. And of course, they're all free and they're highly informative. And the research for those documentaries comes out of Enoch. So when I want to do a documentary, I ask Enoch for all the research about something like, let's say, what are all the nutrients that can help protect you against MSG toxicity? So I'm doing a documentary on defending yourself against MSG. That's just one example. I'm also doing a documentary on the hidden history of DMSO and many other things. So you're going to get a wealth of information there. Again, the content is free. And that's on top of the fact that we already have another site called brightlearn.ai, which is all free content that is book review videos about really important books that cover cancer cures and hidden history and financial information and how to survive a financial collapse and things like that. Even G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island, that's also covered there at brightlearn.ai. And all that content is also free. And the pattern that you've noticed here, and that this is our way of doing business, so to speak, is we want to keep all our content free. You notice that a lot of sites are charging for content, and I don't have anything against that. It's just that for many people or individual writers or people on Substack or what have you, they don't have, you know, the product manufacturing that we have, and so they have to charge, you know, subscriptions or a monthly fee on Substack or, you know, a monthly fee on some other platform. So a lot of people do that, and some of those monthly fees are getting pretty heavy. I saw one person now is charging $25 a month to access her articles. Now, her articles are great, by the way, and I don't even need to mention who it is. She has every right to charge $25, by the way. But for a lot of people, $25 for information per month, you know, it's $300 a year. That's a lot for information, especially when AI engines are almost free, and our AI engine will be free. And so, you know, the cost of information or the cost of knowledge is plummeting. Knowledge is going to become so ubiquitous through AI that before long, very few people will pay for any kind of information. I mean, think about your own behavior. Do you like to pay for news articles? You know, if you go to a news site and it says, hey, you can't read this article, you know, pay us, you know, $5 a month. Don't you mostly just close that? I mean, you don't sign up and pay $5 a month. I don't. And I never want to put us in that situation. I never want to charge you for our content. But this depends on you supporting us through healthrangerstore.com. And that's all that we ask. And that's all that we need. As you can see, with your support, I can spend millions of dollars on projects. I can spend $100,000 on a microscope. You know, we've spent $500,000 on our lawsuit against the federal government. That's all because of your support. We're fighting for free speech rights for everybody. That lawsuit was filed 1 year ago, by the way. It's coming up on 1 year. It's still in the courts. It's barely moved, actually. It's currently in the stage of fighting over the venue because the tech companies want to switch the venue to California. Of course they do, you know, where they own all the judges. And I can fund new laboratory equipment. Oh, there's another piece of equipment that we're also adding that I failed to mention, which is listeria testing also. But we can add new lab equipment. We can build new studios. We can add new content. We can do all this because of your support. And I'm thrilled to be able to do it. It's an honor to be able to do this, to know that with your level of support, that where needed, I can make a decision to put some serious money behind a specific project or a specific piece of equipment and then share the results with you so that you get to see the results of the new microscope, or you get to see the results of the dioxin testing, or you get to benefit from the clean foods with the new tests. So you know it's being tested in a multitude of ways that nobody else even dares try, because running a lab is actually difficult. It really is. So, and to be able to give away the AI engine access is also really a key. ChatGPT doesn't give it away. They'll charge you up to $200 a month to access their engine. And by the way, our engine beats their engine on all the things that matter. You know, not on math. I'm talking about truth. And we have the highest score on the truth index, you know, not on the math index, though. But I figure if you want to do math, you can go ask some other AI engine. But if you want the truth about the history of 9/11 and Building 7, you want our engine, you know, or the truth about vaccines or whatever, or you're looking for cancer cures, you're going to use our engine. And even though our engine is free, the knowledge is invaluable. But we give it away for free on purpose, because that is our mission, to share human knowledge and help uplift other people through the spreading of knowledge, overcoming censorship, overcoming deplatforming, overcoming industry lies and government lies and media lies, okay? So thank you for helping us do that. Thank you for your support. We couldn't do it without you. We couldn't write the checks. We couldn't pay the bills without you. And thanks to your support, we are doing great. We're shipping products. We're investing in new equipment. We're expanding our facilities and operations at a time when a lot of companies are bankrupt or laying people off or shutting down. And it's only because of your support that we're able to do it. And I thank you in so many ways. I thank you also for putting up with me in that sometimes I can provoke people. You know, sometimes my speech is very polarizing. Yeah, sometimes it's on purpose, sometimes not. It's just I have strong views, and you don't have to agree with all my views on everything. It's fine if you do or fine if you don't. But you know that I'm committed to humanity, to clean, healthy, safe food. I'm committed to human liberty, and I'm committed to the process of dismantling overarching, overzealous governments and regulators and liars and traitors and traffickers and all that nonsense. So we might not agree on every single thing, but we absolutely are aligned on the core principles that I'm fighting for here, which is human freedom and human life. So thank you for your support. Shop with us, healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day, to take advantage of this Mother's Day sale. You don't even have to be a mother, because we don't check. We don't ask you to, like, email us proof of motherhood. No. It's in honor of mothers. So check it out, healthrangerstore.com/Mother's Day. And thank you for your support. God bless you all. Take care.